Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37. The Reverend Dr. Michael Von Baron is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so it will be when the Son of Man comes in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. For just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, and buying and selling and planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down and take them away. Likewise, let the one who is out in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, and that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left." And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, for those I haven't met yet, my name is Mike Von Baron. It is my privilege for this season to be serving as district president in the Northwest District. So I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ there in the Northwest. And have the privilege of proclaiming to you this text from the Gospel, Luke chapter 17, of which I'd like to point our focus to one verse. And if you'll remain standing while I share that Gospel verse again, it's verse 26 of Luke 17, where Jesus said, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man." Here ends the text. You may be seated. Will you join me in a word of prayer? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just as it was in the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? Well, Jesus went on to elaborate in the next verse, Luke 17, verse 27. They were eating and drinking. They were being married and being given in marriage right up until the day that Noah went into the ark and the floods came and destroyed them all. Clearly, Jesus there and in the succeeding verses says that the floods of judgment came on a day they did not expect. Do you remember that day? Do you remember the scriptures and what the Lord tells us about that day? It's Genesis chapter 7. There's a good summary in verses 6 through 9. It says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, the flood waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered into the ark to escape the floods. And if all of the clean animals and of the animals that are unclean and of the birds of the air and of the creeping things that crawl along the ground, two and two, male and female, they came with Noah into the ark." Do you think that Noah was ready? Do you think that God asked Noah if he was ready? That he had the ark complete, that all of its rooms were just right, comfortable and habitable for both man and beast, that he had finished sealing all the cracks in the gopher wood sufficiently with pitch, that every food of every sort that is eaten was adequately stored up and in its place, just as God had described and delineated in Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 to 21 for Noah to do. Do you think he asked Noah, "Are you ready?" Before the fountains of the deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were opened, as it says in Genesis 7, verse 11. In my first year of ministry, Clyde was a faithful member of the congregation that I was called to serve. Clyde was in his mid-70s, retired CEO of a paper mill. Clyde was well-dressed, handsome. Clyde was in better shape in his mid-70s than I was in my early 30s. This is the type of guy who rode his bicycle 80 miles to celebrate the day of his 80th birthday. My last visit with Clyde was near his 97th birthday. It was just a few years ago. He wasn't riding his bicycle anymore. He was on hospice and confined to his bed. And after sharing scriptures with him, sharing prayers with him, sharing the Lord's Supper with him, before I left, I asked if there was anything he wanted me to share with his brothers and sisters, his church family at Holy Cross, who loved him and were praying for him. And he said, "Pastor, tell them I'm ready." I met Stephen at St. Luke's Rehabilitation Center. His room was adjacent to the room of a member of the congregation that I served. Stephen was a Harley Davidson riding, recovering alcoholic who most people just referred to as Ugly. He liked that. That was actually his nickname, Ugly. But it was also a summary of the diagnosis that he had received. And so it was his girlfriend that walked out in the hallway and summoned me to come in and asked if I'd pray with him too. And I found out, after talking with him, that he had actually been baptized as an infant at a Lutheran church. His family stayed at that church long enough for him to go through some of confirmation as a youth, but then his family faded away. He hadn't been to a church in decades. And he wanted to talk because he was pretty sure that he wasn't ready. When he was released from that rehabilitation center, he was released to his home, to a hospice bed, and he invited me to continue visiting him because he feared that he could never be ready. And that's because in addition to the many colorful tattoo sleeves that he had collected over the years, in those years when most of his life he lived a lot more like the younger son in Jesus' famous parable about the prodigal, he had a season in his life where, in effort to thumb his nose at God, he had another tattoo on his back printed from shoulder, clear across to shoulder, that read, "Unforgiven." And now he was broken, and he feared those words might forever be true. You know, I'm convinced that Noah didn't get to make the call when the ark was ready. It didn't matter if it was complete or if there were still gaps in the gopher wood or if there were spots that had not been covered in pitch. It was the Lord's call from the beginning whether Noah was ready. And that's why in Genesis 7, verse 16, it says that it was the Lord who shut them in. It was the Lord who sealed Noah and his family and his sons and his wife's sons and all those animals in the ark and made sure that that ark didn't sink. The Lord had actually prepared Noah for this, made him ready, long before Noah even started building the ark. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, "You are blameless, righteous before me in this generation." Noah was righteous before the Lord in the same way that we're righteous before the Lord, because he believed in the promises of God's salvation. And that's why Jesus in this text, Luke chapter 17, before he even mentions Noah in verse 26, in the previous verse, verse 25, Jesus said about himself that he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. His suffering, his rejection, is crucifixion. Is for all people and for all time the focal point of that exchange of righteousness that Noah and his family benefited from. It's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that our God, for our sake, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We are made ready in the same way that Noah was made ready. And that's why Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 to 22, says that God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. So in it, a few, eight in all, were saved through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clean conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Baptism. Baptism is our ark. That water now saves us, not by itself, but because it connects us with the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus, so that you and I and Clyde and Stephen even can have a clean conscience before God. Because our guilt, our sin, our burden, it's been lifted, forgiven, removed, so that we'll be ready on the day when the Son of Man comes. What a privilege I had in that season of my life to speak into Clyde's life in that ebbing season of his and affirm what he knew, that God called him baptized, forgiven, loved, ready. And what a privilege for me to be able to speak into the ebbing season of even Stephen's life and remind him that no matter what other people called him, that his given name, Stephen, meant crowned. And God had a crown of righteousness waiting for him. And that no matter what words he had marked himself with over the years, God had a superseding set of words for him. Baptized, forgiven, loved, ready. People today, still preoccupied eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, just as they were back in the days of Noah, but some people are in a season where God has made them ready to hear about the God who loves them enough to make them ready. And are we ready to tell them? I pray so. For that is what this is all about. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.